I'm Ann Vandersteele. Welcome to the Zelenko Report, where truth and God are taking down the tyranny of our time. We have a huge show for you today, starting off with Chase Allen, 25 years young, murdered by local police over a traffic stop in Utah. Why is this significant? Well, he was an American state national. And Moderna, the CEO, Steve Bansal, is he a prophet? How did he know they needed to make 1 billion doses of their clot shot before the pandemic? And we are now learning the sad truth that, yes, these bioweapon shots, they are shedding on all of us, including the unvaccinated. Scott Ritter, he's going to talk to us about his war in Ukraine via our good friend Mike Adams, and an update on J6, as well as Arizona. Big updates coming out of there. Is the dust about to get unsettled again? Ivan Raiklin and Brandon Howes are here to weigh in. We are live exclusively on Brighteon TV, largest and fastest growing new media platform. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Greetings, David Avocado Wolf here. I love Brighteon TV. I've been there since from the very beginning when Mike Adams founded it, him and his crew, and I support it 1,000%. One of the best platforms of free speech on earth.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com. Nearly all
And your news between the lines is brought to you by Z Labs, the makers of Z-Stack. You know, Dr. Zelenko's immune boosting supplement. Go to ZStackLife.com. Use your promo code Foundation so that you can stay healthy through this cold and flu season. Don't be scared of a little sniffle. ZStackLife.com. Promo code Foundation. Also, My Pillow. Good night's sleep for you, your whole family, including your pets. That's right, over 300 products that you can find over at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Use your promo code Foundation, and you are also supporting the Zelenko Freedom Foundation. All right, top of the show. The family of a man shot by officers in Farmington says the police are stonewalling them. That's right. The police brutally and unlawfully murdered 25-year-old Chase Allen during a traffic stop. According to police, deadly force was exercised after Chase refused to get out of his vehicle. It is said that evidence exists that proves the police officers involved in this homicide requested that their body cams be turned off prior to pulling him over. Was this a targeted attack against an American state national? Well, I received witness testimony by another state national last night that he and others have been unlawfully harassed by mafia-like brotherhood of corrupt judges and police officers simply for standing on their God-given rights to the point that they had to flee to another state to escape being targeted. Farmington, Utah police said an officer stopped a car without a license plate at 3:22 p.m. Wednesday near the Farmington post office. Police said the driver became non-compliant, causing the officer to request backup. A confrontation ensued, police said, but they have not provided additional details, including whether the man had a weapon or what specifically prompted the officers to fire their weapons. The police department said that it will release additional details after the investigation is complete. And during an attempt to remove the driver from the vehicle, shots were fired and the driver was injured, Farmington police said in a statement on Wednesday. The driver was removed from the vehicle and medical aid rendered by officers on the scene. Chase Allen was then taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead later Wednesday. The family said the officer shot 12 plus rounds at Allen while he was in the car with the engine still running and the lights on. Chase's mother is in touch with Bobby Lawrence, one of the top figures in the American State National Movement, who I know personally, and I can vouch for him as an extremely upstanding American. So folks, more on this to come because I'm going to be diving in. I hope to speak with Chase's mom here in the not too distant future, respecting her right to privacy right now. But from what I understand, she has vowed not to let Chase's death be in vain. So stay tuned. Okay, confidential Pfizer documents reveal COVID-19 vaccination is going to lead to depopulation. That's right, mass depopulation. Pretty bold claim to make. But your government is trying to kill you is even bolder. Unfortunately, these bold claims are now backed up with a mountain of evidence, and most of that evidence can be found in the confidential Pfizer documents that the FDA has been forced to publish by court order. That's right, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration attempted to delay the release of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine safety data for 75 years, despite approving the injection after only 108 days of safety review back on December 11, 2020. But in early January 22, federal judge Mark Pittman ordered them to be released 55,000 pages per month. They released 12,000 pages by end of January. And since then, it has been posted all of the documents on its website. And the latest drop happened on June 1st, 2022. 90% of COVID-vaccinated pregnant women lost their baby. That's right. Pfizer states in their document that by the 28th of February, 2021, there were 270 known cases of exposure to the mRNA injection during the pregnancy. 46% of the mothers, that's 124, exposed to the Pfizer COVID-19 injection suffered an adverse reaction. Of those 124 mothers suffering an adverse reaction, 49 were considered non-serious, 75 serious. That means 58% of the mothers who reported suffering adverse events suffered a serious adverse event, ranging from uterine contractions to fetal death. Before the COVID pandemic was deployed, Moderna's CEO told staff, "We need to make a billion doses of vaccines next year. There's going to be a pandemic." Wow. Steve Bansal, CEO of Moderna, a prophet, telling his employees before it was actually declared that a pandemic was going to happen in 2020. And at the same time, he told staff that Moderna would need to make a billion doses. He also confirmed that the CEO of Gavi knew about his pre-pandemic conversation with Moderna staff. This conversation took place before the world knew about the COVID pandemic. The World Health Organization only declared this novel coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak a global pandemic on March 11th of 2020. Bansal, making the startling revelations during an appearance on a panel discussion on January 18th at the World Economic Forum's Davos 2023 meeting.
Sure. Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on the panel. So the great news versus 2020, where we are today, is we have manufacturing capacity. As Seth knows, when the pandemic happened, Moderna had made 100,000 doses in 2019 for the whole year. And I remember walking after Davos into the office of my head of manufacturing, and I say, "How we make a billion doses next year?" And he look at me a bit funny, say, "What?" I say, "Yeah, we need to make a billion doses next year. There's going to be a pandemic." And so where we are now is, you know, we have plants in the US and in Switzerland. We've shown this summer that we're able to adapt to variants very quickly. If you think about it, you know, in the US, Peter Marks told us on June 28, we want for the US a BA5 Omicron booster. And by early September on Labor Day weekend, he was in US pharmacies.
So pre-pandemic, Moderna already knew they'd be given contracts to supply at least 1 billion doses of the vaccines. And Moderna also knew that the vaccines, quote unquote, which were still to be developed, apparently would be manufactured next year, developed and trialed within 1 year. And those vaccines were supposedly for an unknown virus for which the lethality, number of cases, and infection rate could never have been known. What a prophet, Steve Bansal. Bravo. Now, sadly, doctors are finding graphene is shedding from the COVID-19 vaccinated to the unvaccinated, forming blood clots and decimating blood cells. Dr. Philip Van Welbergen, medical director of biomedical clinics, was one of the first to warn the public of the damage being caused to people's blood by COVID injections by releasing images last year of blood samples under the microscope. Dr. Philip presents the images of his latest blood slides and explains at the images what they're showing. He discusses nearly 100 blood slides from both vaccinated and vaccine-free patients. His slides show that the vaccine-free patients have been infected with vaccine toxins through shedding. This is an image of a typical healthy red blood cell as seen with a microscope, what blood should look like. No coagulation or foreign objects in it. The next image is of a person who has been injected with the experimental COVID drug. The blood is coagulated. The misshapen red blood cells are clumped together. The cell encircled in the image is a healthy red blood cell, one of the few in the image sitting alongside the graphene fibers. You can see the size of the graphene fibers in relation to the size of the red blood cells. Fibers of this side will block capillaries, folks. You can also see that the graphene fibers are hollow and contain red blood cells. Essentially, the COVID injections are weapons of genocide, turning the injected into walking bioweapons, shedding the WMD on the rest of us. And over 25% of American parents have lied about their child's COVID-19 status, a quarter of parents lying about whether the children were following COVID-19 public health measures, including misrepresenting vaccination status and falsifying the age of their children. The study conducted among 580 parents between December 8th and 23rd of 2021 asked whether they had engaged in any of the 7 types of misrepresentations and non-adherence behaviors regarding COVID-19. 7 behaviors included not mentioning their children had had COVID-19, falsely claiming a higher age for their child to avoid getting vaccinated, and falsely claiming their child had been vaccinated. So you can see parents are now being forced to lie because COVID, and because they're trying to protect their children. This is why the Zelenko Freedom Foundation exists, ladies and gentlemen. I am the president and co-chair of the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, Dr. Zelenko's legacy. We are fighting these battles. We have a big press conference coming up on March 20th right here in Sarasota as we stand up to Sarasota Memorial Hospital to remind them of their oath to do no harm and to stop the COVID protocols in the hospital of deadly remdesivir and ventilators and to stop issuing the vaccines. So please support us over at the foundation. Now, an update on the Ukraine war. Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, United States Marine Corps officer, now author and analyst, joined Mike Adams recently on an explosive interview that has brought truth to the situation unfolding in Ukraine, Russia, and frankly, worldwide. The U.S. has kept Russia in the press box of a weakened nation since the breakup of the USSR. Putin replaced Boris Yeltsin and has had visions of restoring the great mother Russia. Scott Ritter recently on Mike Adams.
A quick summary would be that the United States since 1992 has treated Russia as a defeated enemy. Of course, Russia being the successor state to the Soviet Union. We have sought to keep them down. We succeeded in doing that for 10 years under Boris Yeltsin. A new president came in, Vladimir Putin, who wasn't going to play that game. And we've been trying to get rid of Putin ever since. We do that by trying to destabilize Russia. And one of the key aspects of destabilizing Russia was to expand NATO to Russia's border, to include stripping away Ukraine from a Russian sphere of influence, knowing that this would provoke a confrontation with Russia. Now we have the fight.
But instead, the U.S. and NATO tried to ostracize Russia and destroy her economy. Ritter continues to explain why that seemingly failed.
It's a fight we thought we could win by sanctioning Russia, bringing about the economic destruction of Russia, and therefore creating the conditions for the people of Russia to rise up and remove Putin from power. We miscalculated. The Russians actually flipped the script. Their economy is doing well and getting better. Europe's economy, on the other hand, isn't doing well. And the last time I went to the supermarket and looked at energy prices, we got some issues too. There's also a shooting war on the ground. We've turned what was a Russian-Ukrainian regional conflict into a existential battle of survival between Russia and the collective West, the United States, NATO, and some non-NATO European countries who are using Ukraine as a proxy to fight Russia. And surprise, surprise, we're not doing well in that either.
And it's largely become a ground war where supplies sent to Ukraine in order to stay in the game have come from the United States and NATO. How does that impact the outcome of this war? Scott continues to explain.
The Ukrainians, who received a tremendous amount of artillery support from the United States and NATO, they're running out of ammunition, and they will run out of ammunition this summer. And because they've depleted NATO stocks, there's nothing left to give them. And we don't have a mobilized defense industry to build or produce new ammunition. So they're literally, they're done. This summer, if they don't find additional resources to provide ammunition, when the guns stop firing, the war is over. And Ukrainian guns look like they're going to stop firing, and the Russian guns will never stop firing.
And to bolster that point with an exclamation, Russian forces have taken control of eastern part of Artyomovsk, located in the Kiev-controlled part of the Donetsk People's Republic, and serves as a major transportation hub for the Ukrainian group of troops to Donbass. Intense fighting is underway for the city. Denis Pushlin, acting head of Donetsk People's Republic, announced on February 16th that Russian forces had captured all major heights in the Artyomovsk region. Well, now back here to the United States, because J6 isn't over. It's clearly not over, as the truth is coming out like a tsunami with the recent release of 14,000 hours of videotapes. Kash Patel was on with Tim Pool, and they were discussing J6 and why Tucker Carlson needs to release all 14,000 hours of J6 footage. Tim gets into why he thinks there is clear evidence of government pre-planning of this event based on what he saw on some of the footage.
As a former federal prosecutor and a public defender who defended a lot of these types of cases, what you need to show is whether or not the FBI and government agents were using undercover operatives and informants on the day of January 6th. Because if you can show that, you know they've been at, hang on, but the paperwork shows having run informants, that's a 6-month buildup, minimum.
Right.
Minimum. It's not like they just dropped them into the Proud Boys and said, hey, go, don't disrupt, please. So once you prove that, then you defeat the insurrection narrative with the FBI's own documentation. Forget what the videotape shows.
Just for people who you can't see what's going on in the room, the reason why Cash just said hang on or whatever is because I started smirking and rolling my eyes. And what I meant to convey with that is, come on, we know they were involved.
Let me clarify, though.
Yeah. I'm not saying I know definitively. What I'm saying is, a reasonable suspicion is that there were agents. There's a video showing a guy with an earpiece pulling people into the building. All right. Mm-hmm. You combine that with the evidence of Ray Epps, and it looks like you have a preponderance of evidence suggesting there may have been federal law enforcement involved in making that thing happen.
I'll get you beyond a reasonable doubt. All two right. Pieces of information. Ray Epps was on FBI's most wanted list one day, and the next day he was off of the FBI's most wanted list. There are only two ways that happens. You die or your informant. Put that aside. Under congressional testimony, Jill Sanborn, who I used to work with, the head of the FBI Counterintelligence Division, in charge of all these investigations, testified under oath when Senator Cruz asked her, flat out, were there federal agents involved with January 6th? And she said, quote, Senator, I can't answer that at this time. Not if the answer was definitively no, having been a DOJ FBI guy myself, she would have gone there and said, nope, absolutely not. The reason she said I can't answer that is because of the same stonewalling they gave us during Russiagate with Christopher Steele, Halper, and everybody else. It's the same narrative, and I'm telling you they were there.
So you're saying that she said I can't answer that because the answer is yes, and that would compromise whatever their operation was.
Exactly.
Compromising operations, can't answer questions. God, we're so tired of this, aren't we? Aren't we tired of the people that are working for us not answering to us and certainly not answering questions? Well, more questions are still sadly remaining on the missing Americans in Mexico. This video that came out over the internet the other day. So sad. Four Americans who crossed the Texas border went missing. And a Mexican bystander died after actually getting caught in a shootout in Matamoros, which is a northeastern city in Mexico, on Friday, March 3rd. United States Ambassador to Mexico Ken Salazar said in a statement on Monday that the Americans were kidnapped at gunpoint and an innocent Mexican citizen got killed in the attack. The four who were said to have crossed into Mexico from Texas to get health care were in a white minivan with North Carolina plates, the FBI San Antonio Division office said in a statement confirming that a $50,000 reward has been placed for the return of the victims. Shortly after crossing into Mexico, unidentified gunmen shot the passengers of the vehicle. The gunmen herded the four U.S. citizens into another vehicle and fled the scene with them. This video, which was posted on social media on Friday, shows the armed men, some wearing tan body armor, who loaded four people into the bed of that pickup truck right there in broad daylight. The woman was alive and sitting up, but the others appeared to either be dead or wounded. ABC News did report that the victims have been identified as Latavia Tay McGee, Shahid Woodward, Zindel Brown, and Eric James Williams. Sources close to the Mexican investigation also mentioned that Williams' North Carolina driver's license was found at the scene. Barbara Burgess, 54, McGee's mother, told the media outlet that her daughter traveled from South Carolina to Mexico for cosmetic medical procedure and that before the trip, her mom had warned her not to go. Of course, the White House press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that President Joe Biden is aware and has been informed of the four missing U.S. citizens, and the State Department, Department of Homeland Security, and Mexican authorities, collusion, are all working together on the case. She declined to answer any other questions, citing privacy concerns. Was it because this particular area of Mexico is home to cartels that are transnational criminal organizations, and we now have additional evidence that they are funding our politicians? Remains to be seen. Now, as far as the money is concerned, central bank gold buying is now taking up where it left off to start 2023 with a bang. That's right. Central banks globally added another net 77 tons to their gold reserves in January. This is all coming out of data compiled by the World Gold Council. It was a 192% month-on-month increase from December and above the 20 to 60-ton range of reported purchases we have seen over the last 10 consecutive months of net buying. A late report of a 45-ton gold purchase by Singapore in January bumped the numbers up from the initially reported 31 tons. The Central Bank of Turkey was the biggest buyer in 2022 and continued to add gold to its reserves with another 23-ton purchase in January, Turkey now holding 565 tons of gold. The country has been battling rampant inflation. Price inflation accelerated to as high as 85% last year, and that was a 64% up from in December. The Turkish lira depreciated by almost 30% last year. Notice inflation goes up, value of currency goes down. Sound familiar, like what's happening here in the U.S.? Okay, I digress. Meanwhile, the price of gold in lira in terms increased by 40% on an annual basis. So you can see the price of gold is going up with inflation as the value of the lira, the dollar, goes down. China reported another 14.9-ton increase in its gold reserves on top of the 62 tons reported between November and December of 2022. The Chinese Central Bank accumulated 1,448 tons of gold between 2002 and 2019 and then suddenly went silent until it resumed reporting in November of 2022. Speculation abounds that the Chinese continued to add gold to its holdings off the books during those silent years. There has always been speculation that China holds far more gold than it officially reveals. Well, as Jim Rickards points out on the Mrs. Daily back in 2015, many people speculate that China keeps several thousand tons of gold off the books. And a separate entity called the State Administration for Foreign Exchange, or SAFE, last year there was a large unreported increase in central bank gold holdings, and central banks that often fail to report purchases include China and Russia. Isn't it funny? They're part of the BRICS nations and they're going to gold-backed basket of currencies. Meanwhile, our currency is being devalued and deplatformed, like as in Saudi Arabia not taking the dollar, using the digital yuan or Russian rubles or gold. Well, many analysts believe that China is the mystery buyer stockpiling gold to minimize exposure to the dollar. The European Central Bank reported a nearly 2-ton increase in its gold holdings in January, And this is all related to Croatia joining the Eurozone. The National Bank of Kazakhstan increased its gold reserves by a modest 3.9 tons in January after selling off over 30 tons in November and December. So again, folks, this is where I come to the show and I remind you, get yourself right with gold and silver. It is constitutional sound money. It is the only sound money that has been dependent upon by millions and billions for 5,000 years. This is it, folks. It's the biblical money. It's the constitutional money. And this is what is going to preserve your net wealth as we transition through this great reset. And it is coming. Nothing can stop what's coming. The Great Reset is coming, and you want to preserve what you have and get into gold and silver. If the sovereign nations are doing it, you should do it. Go to KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann. I'll say it again, KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann. It is imperative you protect your family's wealth. Whatever it is, get into gold and silver. Tell them that Ann sent you. All right, coming up after the break, we have an explosive interview with Ivan Raiklin and Brandon Howes. We're going to dive deep on what is happening in Arizona. The dust is never going to settle because we're never going to give up on 2020. And clearly the fraud is now being exposed as cartel funding. Or is it? Here to comment, Ivan Raiklin and Brandon Howes after the break.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Hello out there. This is Charlene Bollinger with The Truth About Cancer, The Truth About Vaccines, and now Charlize.Beauty. Look it up, my new skincare line. I am a big fan of Brighteon TV. This is the best platform out there. If you're not a member, you should be. Thanks, guys.
Brighteon is where it's at if you respect medical freedom and freedom of speech. I love Brighteon.
If you want to find out what's really going on, watch Brighteon TV.
Hey, I'm Clay Clark. We're live here at the Reawaken America Tour. We're getting set up. We're getting ready to accommodate thousands and thousands of people. We're turning every square inch of this facility into seating capacity. It's going to be 100% sold out, and you can watch live on Brighteon TV. That's Brighteon TV. Thank you, Mike Adams.
This is Zach Voorhees, and I recommend you check out Brighteon TV every day for new content by some of the content creators you love most.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTCHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Love Brighteon TV. I'm so thankful to Mike Adams and his team for creating this censorship-free platform and giving us all a voice. So thanks so much, Mike. Thanks so much, Brighteon, for all you do. God bless.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hotze, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
Children generate tremendous amounts of cash. We're talking, these are not tens of billions, these are hundreds of billions of dollar businesses, massive businesses. That cash also has to be laundered back. This is one of the reasons we got the pressure on law enforcement, not just the violent threats against them, but also the bribery of cash coming in. But they're inextricably linked into the banking, financing, and real estate industries also, because these people are sitting on tons of cash. Can you walk us through that?
Well, and the question is, how do you work that cash back in so you can use it, right? And, you know, I know that there has been some reporting on this, at least some information that has come out in the past couple of weeks. And I have intentionally not commented on it because I really think that we need to start looking into it with a serious investigation to see if there's something there. And so I don't want my words on that to impact anyway any potential investigations that could be going on. I know some of this was brought up in a Senate committee hearing that took place a couple of weeks ago. The allegations are incredibly serious that would implicate possibly some elected officials, and I think it needs to be looked into. The question is, are we too far gone as a state? We have seen how our elections are completely run fraudulently, how they will steal elections, how they will not allow people that the citizens want elected into office, such as myself and Abe Hamadeh and others. They want to continue to run a racket. I mean, case in point, our Secretary of State right now is a cartel lawyer by the name of Adrian Fontes. He is a cartel lawyer. During Fast and Furious, he represented the Mexican drug cartels. Let that sink in.
And let that sink in. This is getting really heated out in Arizona. Welcome back to the second half of the Zelenko Report. Joining me now is Ivan Raiklin, former Green Beret and constitutional attorney and what we would call a congressional marauder. And Brannon Howes, host of Brannon Howes Tonight, live from the Frank Speech platform of Mike Lindell TV, all of the above. These two gentlemen have been on this topic like white on rice. Gentlemen, welcome to the show today. This is hot, what's happening in Carrie Lake's interview yesterday on Bannon was explosive, in my opinion, because we haven't heard her mention this potential investigation that needs to happen. I want to start with Ivan. What say you to her comments there?
No, I think it was fairly benign because obviously she indicated that she's aware of that Senate hearing and she's tracking what all of the testimony that occurred during that joint session between the Senate elections and the State House Oversight and Elections Committees. So it's very, what would I use for a term? She's very aware. She has a finger on the pulse, really, of everything going on, not only in Arizona, but she ties it into the international ecosystem. So it's good to know that. She's reticent to make any sort of statement until really more information comes out. But I would have to ask Brannon, because I think out of any investigative journalist out there, Brannon has been at the forefront to really vet and identify the veracity of this information. And I would like to hear Brannon's take on it. I think it would be more powerful.
Absolutely. Ivan, I couldn't agree more. He has been all over this, and that's why I brought him on here, because Brandon, you have been leading the story, the forefront on this story right now, and it keeps to get, it's sort of going back and forth between the Arizona state senators like Wendy Rogers, Sonny Borelli. We've had Pete Santilli weigh in and really dig on this. You've been digging. You've had a lot of guests on trying to get to the bottom of this. What does it do to the Arizona legislature's disposition at this point, Brandon, that this needs to be handled by law enforcement when Carrie Lake herself is actually calling for an investigation?
Well, again, and thank you for having me, and thank you, Ivan. Thank you so much, Ann. Look, I don't like the fact that the Arizona legislature, this committee, seems trying to pass this off on law enforcement. If law enforcement is compromised, and there's reason to believe they're compromised, then why do you think law enforcement would do anything about this? I mean, it's like the legislature is scared to get to the truth. Either you validate the story or you refute it and destroy the narrative and the lies and say, this is all made up. It's all kabuki. It's not real. Isn't that what a committee does? Why are they afraid to investigate? That right there throws red flags to me. Now, if they're being intimidated, if they're being bullied, if they're being threatened, if they're scared, then they should come forward and say that. And then maybe some of these people should be provided with, private security. Maybe some of the patriots in America would help raise the money to pay for that private security. I mean, if they don't tell us what's going on, how can we, the people, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, help them? But if they'll tell us what's going on, what their concerns are, they could even do it behind the scenes. Heck, they could call up Ivan, Mr. Green Beret. I'm sure he can get some guys to help protect him if they're feeling afraid. So what are they afraid of? That's my question. Number two, I am getting regular documents, got more in the last 15 minutes, more documents from the original attorney, Mr. Thaler. So we're continuing to ask for documentation. We're continuing to receive said documentation. I'm continuing to send documentation to certain people and attorneys to help vet. So we're doing our research. Why can't they do theirs? Number three, last night I had on Draza Smith. Okay, she comes on and she says, we've got a problem. We've got billions of dollars being laundered in every state of the union. Every state of this union being laundered, billions of dollars going to campaigns, many of it $20 or under. And one guy making 20,000 donations. One guy, 20,000 donations. Who does that? And guess what? Just like we've had, are you ready? Just like we have had fake voters, we have fake donors. We must start talking about the fake donors.
Right.
Everybody talks about the fake voters. Good. But we're missing out on the fake donors.
Yeah.
It's a laundering, racketeering program from all the evidence we can see. And she's onto it. She's a mathematician. She's got her master's in mechanical engineering and another master's degree in another kind of engineering. She's just, steps from having her PhD. She's a brilliant mathematician. She's very careful. She's very reasoned. As a journalist, I was pushing her last night some. She kept answering the question, but also saying, hey, we need to keep doing more research. We need to keep vetting this. So she's very guarded. But as a journalist, and we're always trying to get them to say more. But she was being very careful. But let me tell you something. How is it? I asked her right on the air. Anyone can watch the interview and see it. I asked her, hey, did you watch the interview I did in the last, as a week ago, Monday? Friday, and then Monday. Did you watch any of those interviews that I did with John Thaler? No. Do you know what I'm talking about? No. I said, good. She started to apologize. She didn't know. I'm like, don't apologize. I was hoping you would say no, you didn't watch it. Why? Because you are validating other things that we're researching independently and separate thereof.
Right. So here's the question now, because we heard a lot, Ivan, we heard a lot about the state, the Senate has plenary power to order the audit. If we remember the Arizona audit, and we had a lot of hopes hanging on this Arizona audit. There's an Arizona statute that actually says the legislature can call for an investigation. Arizona statute 41-1151 gives the chair, Ivan, of any committee subpoena power. And the purpose of a committee is to investigate. Legislation, the legislative body has plenary authority from their constitution. So why do you think they're not exercising this based on their own state statute, Ivan?
Well, I'm going to answer it this way, is that I haven't looked at the statute, but I think the more important decision to remedy and fix all of this rests in kind of two ways. The first one I'm going to talk about, the second one probably not going to talk about until next January when the next session starts, because it's going to be forward-leaning. And I'm doing that deliberately so that we don't want to show our hand, if you will. The first one is essentially what I outlined in my testimony, and I had to thread the needle, because one side of the aisle, one of the chambers, they didn't really want to go aggressively and use the terminology decertification, etc. The other side, meaning the House, really wanted to go in that direction. And I understand both sides, because we're at a point right now in our country where foreign actors, the CCP, Russia, etc., is essentially decimating our constitutional order. And I'm not going to go into details, but generally speaking, that's what's occurring. And the federal executive branch is not providing for the common defense, which they're required to do constitutionally with the authority of the states. So when the federal executive branch is no longer fulfilling its contract with the states, it is incumbent upon the state to exercise its maximal authority to reject what the executive branch is doing and literally memorialize it as being illegitimate. And the only way that I see doing that in the constitutional system that we have is for the state legislature using and exercising its plenary authority via the allocation of its executive branch of number one and number two office holders in the federal executive branch to literally bring back the units of sovereignty that the state of Arizona transmitted to the federal government, which we call presidential and vice presidential electors. But it's more than that. It's literally the state exercising its sovereignty to say, you know what, folks, federal government, you're not legitimate. And for that reason, we're pulling back our presidential and vice presidential electors.
Wow.
And that's going to be the biggest statement that it can do. And I think this other issue, the Thaler, all that other stuff, is a subcomponent of Arizona exercising its sovereignty in the maximal way possible. And that's kind of how I see it.
Well, that's very, very compelling.
Brandon, hopefully he understands and respects that as well.
Yeah, well, that's compelling what you're saying. You know, Brandon, I'd love your feedback on what Ivan just said.
Anything that reasserts the state rights, I'm for. I have been saying for 20 plus years that we are going to have a huge problem with lack of state rights. I remember telling a friend of mine in 2006, it was one of the leaders of a big pro-family organization, okay? And I said to this president of this big pro-family organization, if you guys in the pro-family movement want to save America, you got to start understanding, you know, basic constitutional structures here and what's the real problem. And the real problem is we've lost our sovereignty as states and as counties. And I said, you guys have got to work to elect governors, attorney generals, and secretaries of state that will, and people in the legislature that will demand an adherence to the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The powers the federal government has are limited and expressed. The unlisted powers belong to the states and respective people thereof. You know what? I hate to say this, but most of the people,
amen,
a lot of the leaders in the pro-family movement are not real bright people, okay? They're professional. Most of them are professional fundraisers. Okay. Many of them are not looking for a solution, because the worse things get, the more money they raise. Did you know that?
Yeah.
But look at what some of the biggest pro-family groups bring in. They bring in millions and millions and millions. And the worse it gets, I think from my research, the more money they raise, because the average American, and particularly older Americans, don't know what else to do. They want to do something. And so they write checks. Well, that's great. But why don't you give it to pro-family groups and constitutional and patriot groups that are actually doing something? And when you tell them back in 2006, you guys need to get organized and elect governors and secretaries of state and attorney generals and legislatures that will demand the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution be honored, because we're going to be in a massive tyranny. And then I said, if you were to organize this in Tennessee, where I live, Mississippi, Alabama, and a few key states, we'll have a block. And pretty soon, if they don't honor it, we say, bye-bye, because we have a right under the Declaration of Independence, when there's a long train of abuses, to abolish our ties to the government, because we created government. We are not going to be their slave. We created them. And as our
Declaration says,
what we created, we can alter, we can abolish. The government is accountable to the people. The people are accountable to God. Let me say one more thing. What people are missing out on, I think, not you guys, and probably not your smart audience, but think about this. January 6th and that whole orchestrated mess, that was about stopping anyone from looking at not only the fake voting, but to cover the racketeering and the billions and billions and billions of dollars.
That's right.
Everyone is talking about the votes and the fake votes, but I go back to the fake donors. Why do you see men who have very high net worths, very successful businesses, lovely families, they love to golf and do other things, and they give up all that to go run for office? And I've always wondered, why would you go do that? Now, some of it, they made their money and they want to go into public service and they want to make a difference. They want to fight for liberty and freedom for the next generation. I get that. But some of these guys, you look at them and you go, this is not a principled person. So why is this moron running for office? He's got a lot of money. Why would he want to run for office? It's not because he's interested in restoring the constitutional republic. Well, guess what? Apparently, there are billions and billions and billions of dollars to be had in this scam. And January 6th was about covering up one of the largest financial scams in American history of the elite.
Brannon, bravo, bravo, brother. You said what most people are thinking. You've put it out there. And I know Ivan was off camera nodding his head in agreement. Ivan, do you have anything to add to that?
I can say amen. And I can say, basically, I wanted to interject and say, when the states reassert their rights, they can literally use the vernacular, as we say, deuces to the federal government, it should they collectively want to do so. So I can't, I'm going to stress this part. I'm getting messages from those that I testified before, and they're asking for next steps, and those next steps could be coming here in the next, any day now.
Can you share any of the next steps with us at this point, Ivan?
Maximally reasserting sovereignty of Arizona.
Okay. Well, I love that. So I want to ask this question then. Ivan, I'll start with you, and then Brannon, perhaps you can answer. Did you know that on March 2nd, Legislative District 12 in Arizona's executive board was the first Republican committee to issue a press release, and they were demanding the investigation, what came out of the hearing on February 23rd. They did this because leadership at all levels, candidates, legislators, and groups were actually silent on the issue. The people of Arizona have been demanding the investigation as soon as that hearing ended on February 23rd. So does this surprise you that actually LD12, their executive board, was the first Republican committee to actually issue a press release demanding the investigation, Ivan?
I got to ask, LD12, who's that represented by? And that'll help
I don't know.
Answer that question. If we can figure out who that's represented by, I think I might be able to answer that. And I'm not sure what part of the state it is. There may be some sort of relationship with whoever the legislator is, right? And then who some of the grassroots leaders are.
It's not Liz Harris. It's not Liz Harris. Liz Harris is LD13. I checked that because I said, oh, is that, you know, I looked up to see where Liz Harris's district was, thinking she might have been behind this, but it's not her district. And I didn't bother to look to see whose it was.
It is Denise Babion. She is second vice chair. Kurt Gernhardt, fourth chair. Greg Dutton is chairman. Patty Porter, first chair.
Okay, there you go. So what are your thoughts on this, Brannon? Does this surprise you?
I read this on the air after it was sent to me the other day, and I was like, bravo, because, and by the way, they say in this that they are very disappointed. They are very disappointed in Senate leadership. They sought to distance themselves from the presentation and throw one of their own under the bus, and it's reprehensible. The grassroots movement of the Republican Party stands behind such courageous individuals, such as Representative Liz Harris, who seeks truth despite the stakes. And so they're not happy at all with Wendy Rogers. It is an outrage. Here's a quote. It is an outrage. Senator Wendy Rogers, chairman of the Senate Committee on Elections, has not provided a remedy by exercising her plenary authority and subpoena power to immediately begin an investigation into the egregious information concerning public and government officials pertaining to criminal activity and election fraud cited in Ms. Breger's presentation.
I don't know. I want to stay positive and say, I think at the end of this, it'll shake out where there will be remedy. It won't be specifically targeted for the what's been laid out by Thaler. I think it's going to be a more broad brush remedy, and then for later, more surgical remedy should more evidence come out regarding all the Thaler evidence. That's kind of my opinion.
So Ivan. So
I think that the people that are attacking some of the members of the Senate or House, from my perspective, it's slightly unjustified, but the only reason why I say it's unjustified because I think many people only focused in on that particular hearing, as opposed to looking at the totality of that entire day's hearings.
So that was my next question. You were there. Who was the most compelling testimony that day? A lot of people got up and spoke. I know our good buddy Seth Keschel was there as well. What was the most compelling piece of information you heard and from whom that day?
Ivan's last statement in his own testimony.
Repeat that,
I'll take
Ivan.
That, but I think we laid out the argument collectively, and then by the time it got to my testimony, I kind of packaged it into the global order, like I just talked about earlier in the show here. The international impact on America and how the lawless federal executive branch is not doing its job. It's breached its contract with the states, and for that, it's not even talking about any candidate. It's not like last name Trump, last name Biden. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with a lawless executive branch, which happens to be captured by China because their agent is sitting and squatting in the White House. And for that reason alone, the state needs to basically say, you know what? You're no longer legitimate, so we're not going to allocate our units of sovereignty to you, federal executive branch. And to answer your question about the most compelling piece, I think that frame, and then I guess what Brandon said, you know, at the end, I kind of choked up where I basically said, I was asked a question. The last question I was asked by Senator Champ, you know, why am I doing this? Because at the end of the day, I'm doing this on my own dime and my own time. And I see that communism's on the front porch and not on my watch. I mean, I did it a little bit more choked up than that, because I wanted to basically say, I grabbed my Constitution and said, you know, I swear to take an oath to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic, for a quarter of a century, and I take it seriously. But that, many people say that, so it doesn't really resonate. And I thought to myself, this is my only opportunity probably I'm going to have to testify before such a consequential joint session as this. So I just let it all out, and I couldn't get it out. So
right. Well, Ivan Raiklin,
I got out what I could.
Ivan Raiklin, you continue to serve your country with honor, and I appreciate you so much. Brandon Howes, you have continued to service this country with honor, and I appreciate you. You're both war horses, in my opinion, and you're out there trying to get to the truth and do what's best for the country unselfishly,
We're the triple threat right here, all three of us.
Let me say, I believe this is the most dangerous time facing America in our entire history as a republic, because of many reasons. Like he just said, China has co-opted so many of our government agencies and politicians. But listen, the more that we, the people, right, left, and middle, and I'm hearing from a lot of people on the left, a lot of liberals, they're joining us and saying the same things we're now saying. And guess what? That makes this dangerous. This is why they need to go to war. This is why they need a banking collapse. This is why they need to attack our food supply. They need to do everything to move this off the front page. Our people are going to go to prison, and for it could be high crimes and misdemeanors if we follow the Constitution, and that means more than prison. So they have every reason to collapse this, go to war, and bring such pain onto the American people that in the fog of war, not only does this disappear, but certain people like us disappear.
You're right. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. It has been an honor and a blessing to have you both on. Thank you so much for your continued hard work, and God bless you. And folks, I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of the Zelenko Report. Good day, everybody.